Maybe you're listening to this on a podcast. We're glad that you're listening as well. Let's give all of them a hand and welcome them. Yeah. Do we have any single folks in here today? Come on, this is your chance. Let's go. That's what Dan. Hey, by the way, that reminded me, last week was awesome, wasn't it? We had Dan Dean here, and y'all didn't hear this because in the first service, all the lights went out. There's just everything. He was up here speaking, and all the lights went out, went totally dark. And he said, all right, single people, this is your chance. It's like, it's not that kind of church. But I'm talking about singles because I think back to dating, and maybe some of you have had a relationship like this where you dated a few times and then you didn't date for a little bit and it kind of cooled off. And then I can't imagine what it's like to date in the Facebook era. Thankfully, I'm out of the scene. But you see them post a picture with somebody else, and you're trying to figure out who this person is, and then you go on a date again, and then you broach the subject. You know, who was that in that picture? And they say, oh, that's just a friend from a long time ago, and kind of getting a little fight, and then things get better, and then things get worse, and then somebody else, another friend, would ask, so how is it going with so-and-so? And you say, it's complicated. It's complicated. That's a real big thing now. In fact, on Facebook, there is a relationship status that is official. They have, on Facebook, you can say that you're married, you can say that you're divorced, you can say that you're widowed, single, whatever. But they also have a status that says it's complicated. And that's such an interesting status to me because what that's, it's saying something very important. It's saying it's not over, and I don't want it to be over. If that was the case, I would say it's over. I want it to happen, but it's not happening the way I want it to happen. And sometimes you may know why it's complicated. Most of the times it's like ambiguous. You're not sure why it's complicated. And it's just complicated. And so some of you may be married and say, it's complicated. It's complicated. I have an idea of what it should look like. It's not that. I want it to look a certain way. It's not that. And the reason I'm talking about this today is because it goes beyond our relationship with each other and our significant others, and it oftentimes would describe our relationship with God. If someone were to ask you, how's your relationship with God or Jesus? Many people would say, it's complicated. I have an idea of how it should look. I want it to look a certain way, and it's not over. I don't want it to be over, but it's complicated. I want to spend several weeks on this, and I want to help people in this church get to a place to where we say, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. In fact, that's what we're going to call this whole month. It's not complicated. It's simple. We want our relationship with God to be something that's simple. And we're going to, over the next several weeks, I don't even know how long it's going to be, but we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. And we're really going to dig into chapter 1 next week. But if you want a head start on this, I want to encourage you, take the book of Ephesians this week and read chapter 1. In fact, it's not a long book. It's only 6 chapters, and it doesn't take very long to read the entire thing. Some of you that maybe have a little extra time or are really wanting this to not be a complicated thing, and you're ready to go for it, read the whole book every week for the next few weeks and just let it soak into your heart and into your mind. At Promised Land, we like to take a book of the Bible and dig into it chapter by chapter. We do it at least once a year. And so this year we're doing Ephesians. And it's really a neat book because it's a book that's all encompassing. It has really good theological deep truth in it at the first half, and then the second half is all about practical application. So I want to encourage you to jump into this, and let's make our relationship with God simple, the way He wants it to be. And so I want to help you today. We're kind of kicking this off with just one thought. One thought today that's going to help simplify your relationship with God and make it simple, make it not complicated. And here's this, the one thought, if you're taking notes, be ready to write this down, be ready to think about this. Here's the one thought that's going to simplify your relationship with God. You need people. What? I thought we're talking about God. I thought this was church. And I wanted to put this real trendy way of writing a sentence. You know, you put a period after each word, but it's so important. You need people. Really, if you are writing this down, you should write it down. I need people. People are going to simplify your relationship with God. And not just any random person, but there's going to be key people that God brings into your life this fall. I want to speak that a little prophetically to some of you that are doubting it and are not sure about this. There's going to be people that God brings into your life this fall. They're going to help you in your relationship with God. The mission of our church is to bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we want. We want an intimate relationship that's not complicated. We want a good intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But the second part of our mission is and each other. An intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. And that's really what today is all about. It's making our relationship not complicated. We don't just need people around our life. We need people in our life. And there is a significant difference around just being people around you and people in your life. Right now, there's hundreds of people that are going to be at Promised Land today, hundreds of people watching on the internet, and Sundays are awesome. We encourage you, commit. In fact, if that's a new thing for you, I want to encourage you to commit to Sundays in September. Just do that. Maybe that's a bold thing for you, something you've never done before. But if you really want your relationship with God to get simple, then I want you to just do some simple things. Just get here. Get here on Sundays and let the environment, let the worship, let the preaching of God's word bring peace and encouragement into your life and be around God's people. But I want to encourage you to go a step further and allow people in to your life. There was a man in the Bible that, this is not a parable or an allegory, this is an actual story that happened. He was in a desperate need, and he knew that he needed to get to Jesus. And he knew where Jesus was, but he could not get to Jesus because he was crippled and laying on a mat. He'd been there for many, many years. But the good news is that he had people in his life. And the people knew that he needed Jesus, and the people knew where Jesus was. And so the people grabbed. There was four men that grabbed the corners of his mat. And this is what Mark, the second chapter in the third verse says. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So Jesus was inside of a room, of a house. The crowd was stuffed into the house. The door would not even open. There was crowd outside looking in the windows. And so they could not get in. So did they give up? No. The Bible says they dug a hole through the roof. Could you imagine that? They dug a hole through the roof above Jesus' head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. They lowered him down. Can you imagine how disruptive that was? To Jesus, he's probably right in the middle of this amazing point. He's just laying it out, and then the roof starts falling in on his head, and the sun comes through. What's going on? And then come down from the roof a mat with a man laying on it. Jesus forgives this man of his sin, and then he heals him completely from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He's whole. He's whole from the inside out. Jesus makes this man just completely different. And that's awesome. Jesus can do that for every single person in the room here today. Anybody watching online, Jesus can bring wholeness to your life. Sometimes there is a barrier between where you are and where that healing is. It's complicated. You're trying to figure it out. I can't get to Jesus. I know where he is, but I need to get there. And so this man needed a miracle. He knew Jesus, believed in Jesus, believed in healing, knew where Jesus was, but he came to this impossibility, and he needed someone who cared enough. That's really the point of this message. He needed someone that would take time out of their schedule, would physically be burdened by him, and take the time to carry him to where Jesus was. It takes someone that is close to you in your life to be able to go that distance. And then when they get to the house, go so far as to dig the roof off and lower him down into that house. So this man, this is so important right here. This man needed relationship to get from where he was to his answer, Jesus. Relationship with other people is the vehicle that got him to where he needed to go. And if you're in here today and you are struggling in your life and you're trying to figure out, how can I make this relationship with God work? I know that he's the one I need to connect with. I know a little bit about God, but there's this complication. There's a hurdle. There's something in the way. I'm glad you came today to learn, to know that it is other people, other humans that are going to help you, be the vehicle for you to get to the feet of Jesus. The question is not, where are you going? The question is not, do you know Jesus? The question is not, do you know where Jesus is? But the question I have for you today is, who is carrying your mat? Who is it in your life that will go above and beyond and carry you? And maybe even a more important question is, whose mat are you carrying? Ooh. Pastor, why did you have to go that far? Sometimes we say, well, I'm good, you know, I'm fine. I know Jesus, I'm healed. Woo! Well, there's people that need you to carry them. You need to be carried, and let me just say, just because you're good now, you're going to need somebody to carry you between now and the time you're not here, all right? So you better be connecting with other people. You need people. It's not complicated. You need people, and people need you. It's not complicated. People need you. You need people. So here's the problem we run into. You're here today. You're here on Labor Day weekend. That's awesome. You made it. But in a setting like this, you're around a lot of people. That's good. But there are limitations to to what can happen in this context of a big setting. It's crowded, it's busy. As soon as I dismiss, you're going to rush out of these doors. How do I know that? Because for 16 years, every time I dismiss this service, you rush out of these doors. You're like, I got to get some. A few of you would hang back, drink coffee, meet people, talk to people. But so many people are busy. They got to get out of the parking lot. And it's complicated. I want to encourage you to open up your mind to getting into smaller settings, a setting of 6 people to 12 people, somewhere in there. And then I really want to encourage you to think even smaller than that in sets of 2 to 3 people. In fact, Jesus said that. He says, wherever 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, he's in the midst of those people. And that is, in that setting, when you have one other person or you have 2 other people that you can connect with in that very small setting, that is where your relationship with God can get so simple. And so I want to encourage you to step out of the thinking of just of a big setting like this and start thinking smaller. Jesus preached to thousands. Jesus was preaching in the temple. Jesus was preaching on the hillside in Galilee above the sea. He preached to 5,000. He preached on the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he dealt with the masses. But he spent most of his time with his 12 disciples. And it is his time with the 12 disciples that changed the world. Because the masses left, but the 12 stayed. And after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, it was the 12 disciples that became the leaders of the church. And we're here today in 2019 because of the 12 disciples. Well, the 11. And it is the investment of Jesus into those people. And there were some times that Mary was there, his mother, Mary of Magdalene was there. And there was other women, other men, like 15 to 20 people that was this tight knit that traveled with him, that prayed with him, that he asked pointed questions to, and they were confessing to him. But I want to take some of the heaviness and the hurdles even away from that and say that Jesus and his 12 disciples had fun together. They lived together. They ate together. In fact, they were at a party. They were at a wedding party when he did his first miracle. And he wasn't going there to do the miracle. That's very clear when you read the story. It's not like he's like, okay, we're going to go to this service and everybody pray because when we get there, we're going to do a miracle. No, that's not what happened. In fact, when the time came for the miracle, he didn't even want to do it. But his mom said, it's time, right? And so I want to just take some of that point of reference or frame out of your thinking that there's something very biblical about just eating a meal together. So hopefully that's not too intimidating for you. Let's just eat a meal together. In fact, in the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, it says that they devoted themselves to just a handful of things. It was simple. They devoted themselves to prayer, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and they devoted themselves to eating meals together. And that's what changed the world. Just hanging out, praying together, talking together, eating meals together. And it's not that complicated. It's simplifying our relationships, getting connected. So today, we're going to present to you some options for you to jump into small groups. We call them small groups. These are places where you can step into relationship with other people. And let's just make that simple. Small groups, it's very simple. They're just sets of relationships. That's all they are. When you hear us talk about a small group, they're just sets of relationships. And so I'm breaking this down so simple today, and you might think, oh, why, this is so elementary. It is, but the problem is so many people aren't in them. They're not in sets of relationships that are going in the same direction. Now, you're in sets of relationship, and there are people in your life, but are they helping you grow closer to God? And so that's what I want to help you understand the power of these other relationships. People matter. Connection with other people matter in context to your relationship with God. And so here's what I want to do. I want to help you see what carrying your mat does. How does carrying this mat work? How do these sets of relationships help me simplify my relationship with God? Here are the ways right here. The first one is there is safety in a small group, or safety in a small group of people. Erica, would you help me right now? Would you go over there and get that mic that's sitting over there? And what we're going to do, we're just going to take a little bit of time right here. We're going to start going through this section here, and we're just going to have you stand up and confess your sin in front of the church. Who's ready to? Who? Anybody want to start? I don't. Okay. You're off the hook. We're not going to do it today. But let me tell you this. The Bible says if you confess your sin to God, if you repent and confess your sin to God, He's faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sin and all of your unrighteousness. He forgives you. God forgives you of your sin. The Bible also says if you confess your sin to each other, that you will be healed from that sin. God forgives you, but He's providing people in your life for that healing to come forth. That's so important. But the whole point I'm trying to make right here is it's not safe to do that on Sunday morning. It's not. We won't do that. We're not going to do that. But we have to do it at some point. And that's why a relationship with a couple people, having a couple people in your life where there's safety, because transparency matters, and you need a safe place for that. And transparency requires trust, and that's only going to happen in the context of a small setting. So please value that. You've got to have that sort of confession, and the vehicle for that confession is a small setting, a small group. Friends, that can be in your life. Here's the second thing. There's focus. There's focus in a small setting. So today, I'm speaking to people that have never been to church before. In a church our big, every weekend, we have people that visit our church. They've never been to church before, and I think that's awesome. And if that's you, we welcome you. There's a place for you here. We love you. Thank you for coming. But there's also people that I speak to on Sunday morning, like my parents in the first service. They're my parents. They've been in church for decades. And so I have to try to figure out a way as a pastor to speak to everybody on that scale, from the first time visitor to the person that's been in church all their life, and try to make it applicable. But when we get into a smaller setting, when there's 5 people, 6 people, 3 people, 8 people, all of a sudden the focus comes really tight. And we can start hearing from God and talking to God and learning from God. And our relationship with God gets a lot simpler. It's not complicated in that smaller setting. There's focus. The third thing is connection to God. So we're going to pray. We're going to read scripture together. Many of our groups in our church will take the message from Sunday and discuss it. And so they're connecting to God through that message. They're focusing how that message particularly applies to them and that group. Another thing that's in groups is friendship. Just old-fashioned, we're friends. And that's what I was talking to you about earlier with Jesus and His disciples. They were friends. They liked each other. They hung out together. They had real conversations. They knew each other on a first name basis. They had lasting friendships. And so it was a connection, a friendship. That's what we need. We need friends to help simplify our relationship with God. Here is a next thing, and that is support. There's times in your life, I said it earlier, you're going to get a diagnosis. you're going to get pregnant. You're going to get married. You're going to have a death in the family. You're going to lose a job. The list goes on and on. You need support. You need people to help you. And man, I love hearing the stories at Promised Land of people that go through those scenarios, and the first people on the scene are their small group. And it's their small group that are filling their refrigerators full of food, cutting their grass, cleaning their house, providing for them, helping them. And what's so awesome is that because they're so close, they know about it before anybody else knows about it. So there's a connection there. The final thing that I want to say about a group is that there is accountability. And you might could say there's coaching, there's mentorship, accountability. You need somebody in your life that realizes you're struggling before you tell them that you're struggling. Because, as I said earlier, if you're waiting for a pastor, if this church is large, but I'm telling you, there's people in this church that are growing so fast and so deeply with God, and it's so encouraging to see the health of their relationships and the path for that, the vehicle for that, just like the man that needed to go to Jesus, it is their relationships with other people in this house that is helping them get on that path of discipleship. And so if you're waiting for a church staff or a pastor or somebody else to notice something, that's going to be difficult, and it may not happen. But when you're connected to a small group, now, if I'm in your small group, then that works easy, right? But and I'm in several. So if you're in that group, they start saying, "Well, I noticed that you're struggling and this or that. I sense this," or, "Hey, tell me about what's happening here." And they're able to talk you through things, and holding accountable sounds like they're judging you or something like that. It's not that at all. It's a heart thing. It is a brother and sister type relationship where we're going to help each other. And the Bible says, spur one another on. Such a good visual picture there. So I know that there's people in here that you're thinking, "I have an excuse. I have a good one. I'm shy. I don't like to talk to people." Okay, half the people in the room would consider themselves introverts, and you naturally just don't like people, other people. I get that, because I'm one of you, and I'm an introvert, and I like people. But I don't know, I struggle in that setting. And if that's really a thing that's hanging you up on this, I want to let you know that we are offering many different types of opportunities in this fall that would be easy for you to jump in on, because they are not real what you would call like thick Bible studies or settings like that, but they are based around activities. And so would you hand me that little booklet? Thanks. So we have these listed in here, and they're listed under topical groups, but we have a Zumba. Come on. Y'all can get it moving in Zumba. But we have motorcycle riding group, gardening group, musicians group. Tenemos tres grupos de español. Si hablando español. And if you speak English, we have that as well. Many of those options. But if you're shy, we got options for you. I know many of you would say, "I have a full schedule. Man, I got work, I got kids, I got, you know, practice, I got to take them to this and that, and, you know, I got so many things going on." Here's what I want to tell you. I want to encourage you to say no to something. To say yes to something else. It's okay to say no to things. It's even okay to say no to your kids sometimes. Woo! Come on. parents, I'm helping you out a little bit here. This is good stuff. You've got to make some changes, and you have to say no to some things to say yes to other things. All right, my kids have early bedtimes. I get that. If that's a barrier for you, we have many groups in here that meet in the morning. We have a MOPS group. That's a Mothers of Preschoolers group that meets in the morning. We provide childcare for that as well. We have several groups that are for families. You can take the whole family, kids, mom, dad, or if you're a single parent, you can go to them. We have groups that are for adults only. So if you're in a family with kids that have to go to bed early, maybe dad can go to a group on one night, mom can go to a different group, or if you want to do a family thing, there's options in there as well. How about, I'm brand new and I don't have anything to add to this conversation. Like, I don't know anything about God. I don't know anything about church or the Bible. Why should I be a part of this group when I'm new? Well, let me just tell you, there's one thing that you can add to the group, and that is you. You can add yourself. And you might say, well, that sounds cute, Pastor. Well, it does sound cute, but that's really important. You being a part of the group and just putting in your two cents, your ideas, your experience, your questions are awesome. We love people that come in asking a lot of questions. That's great. All you got to do is just be yourself. You don't have to come in and, you know, have this big dissertation on the book of Revelation or anything like that. Just get there. I don't know anyone. I'm an outsider. I have no idea what to expect. You have all these things. We've all been the first time before. We've all been to a group for the first time. And I just can tell you that we love. I'm telling you, all the leaders of these groups are dying for people to be in their group. They want, yeah, come on, be a part. They're excited about it. You don't have to worry about that. How about, I don't know what to expect. Is this a weird church? Is this a cult? Are we going to somebody's living room and going to just sit around in a circle around a candle and chant and do just weird things? Let me just say, if that happens, please let me know, because I need to know that, all right? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And also, I want to let you know, when you go through this little booklet and you look at stuff and you say, man, I want to try this group out, it's not a life sentence, okay? A lot of these groups are just going to meet through December. Some may meet through next May. Some may be a four-week group, a six-week group, an eight-week group. And also, if you go one time, you can just say, hey, I'm trying this group out. And then if it doesn't click or you don't like it or whatever, you can just try a different group. So I want to try to take away some of that apprehension. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to put you on the spot. There's no pop quizzes about God or about anything like that. And so let me read to you one verse from Ephesians, the fourth chapter and the third verse. Ephesians 4 and 3. This is the last thing I really want to share with you. Make every effort. And when I say those three words, that implies a lot, doesn't it? Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. And when you read Spirit like that, that's capitalized, that's God's Holy Spirit. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now, we know that the Spirit of God can do a major work in your life. That's at the feet of Jesus. That's the miracle. But look what it says to us. We are to play a part in that. We are to carry the mat for someone. That's make every effort. And I want to thank every one of you that have stepped out on a limb and have decided to lead one of these groups. You're a mat carrier. Thank you for doing that. But I also want to encourage everybody in here that's not a part of a group yet to bind yourselves together with peace. That's what this is. If I was to interpret it, I would say, take this and go through this and look and see if there's any of these scenarios that you could connect with. In fact, why don't you take it out right now, if you haven't taken it out already, and let's just look through it right now. And I want to share with you a couple things about this. So we have it organized in several different ways. The first page there, family groups where kids are welcome. We have marriage groups that focus on marriage. We have men's group, obviously that's for men. We have women's group, that's for women. We have student groups, Texas State, high school, junior high, and then we have all of our topic groups that are based on different interests. And then we also have outreach groups at the very back that really focus on outreach-centered mission. So I want you to, over the next few days, be looking over this, be thinking about it, and all of these groups, I would say 99% of these groups are going to be launching a week from today. So they're not launching this week. In fact, first Wednesday worship we'll have right here at Promised Land. We're going to take communion together. We're going to worship. And we're also going to have a lot of these leaders here mixing and mingling and just sharing information in person about their groups. So I want you to be thinking about it, praying about it. And then here's how we fulfill Ephesians 4 and 3. Make every effort, binding yourselves together. In this booklet are email addresses and phone numbers of people leading a group. I want you to step out and connect with these leaders and say, hey, I'm interested in your group. Can you tell me more about it? And they're going to give you more information. So I want to encourage you. This is your step. This is where you step out and say, God, I don't want a complicated thing anymore. I want to simplify my relationship with you, and I'm going to make every effort. In the past, we've given you a card that you fill out and you check a box to tell us what group you're interested in. We're eliminating that step because we think, you can read. There's a phone number there. You've got a phone. There's an email there. Take a step. What about your relationship with God being simple? What about uncomplicating things and taking that bold step? Okay, let's pray. Would you join with me?